Can we please get seated? So we have the welcome back. So let's move over. Yeah, I got some questions from Mohammed. They sent his luggage like all over the world, and so this morning he had to go out and do some shopping. He has still not got his luggage. American Airlines sent it to some other place in the US and not to Los Angeles.
Okay, I saw him. He was wearing clothes.
I
didn't get that close.
I'm not continuing that thread. So, Elise.
I just wanted to close an action item that Joe gave to me, and that was on slide number one about the comment about geographic diversity of the PTI board from number 50. And we agree it can stay on the fact that we think that it was addressed by the community.
Thank you very much. And I guess all of us will sort of over time look at that first slide, and also when some of the groups that we now have tasked to look at the other slides, when we move things to that first slide that we don't have to address, I think all of us might sort of come with that kind of statement just like you did. I also had a look at this, and yes, I agree, or no, I think it should move back, etc. So I'm not nervous. So when things are moved back and forth, I think it's not until we really sit down and go through things. It's not frozen. So, but thank you very much, because all of that kind of input helps us move forward. So thank you, Elise. So let's move forward regarding the analysis with the NTIA criteria. Joe.
Thank you, Just Valida, for the record. If we could go up for the slide. Oh, we have the slides. Can we go to the next one? Apparently not. Okay. I have made a demanding question that cannot be honored. Great. Thank you.
There we go.
Someone had a calculator handy with this one, because we have numbers actually for pretty much all of the questions that were asked. So
approximate numbers.
Yeah, because there were some proposals that were not captured in some of those numbers. But assuming the approximate number, it's a pretty large approximate percentage. The back of the envelope calculation, were those numbers to be accurate, would be 80% in favor. I think the number's a little bit off, but let's just say this was a proposal which garnered a lot of favorable comment at the overall level, and then some diminished level of favorability, but still a majority at the individual question level. So people varied on their comment, but also because fewer people commented at the individual question than did at the overall concept level. At the majority level, you know, the doesn't support the multi-stakeholder model. I actually took it's a broader question perhaps than just that. It's actually the question of inclusion. It's not just the multi-stakeholder model. It's also the question of inclusion. Part of that question was also the question of power dynamics across the community and the ability of stakeholders to be represented in those power dynamics. Part of the issue was the definition of multi-stakeholder in the Tunis agenda versus the definition of what they perceived NTIA to use as the term multi-stakeholder, which at least two comments highlighted as a differentiating factor. The community has not yet fully been involved. There was also a concern that some parts of the community would have a harder time being involved due to geography, due to culture, due to linguistic issues, and also due to cost. Okay. I'm not sure someone is meaning to share that part of the... Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, so, okay, we're jumping the gun a little on that part, but okay. So on the left side is the text that I emailed around, which I'm going to get to in a second. On the right side is the proposal questions as we have them. Okay. The civil society, academia, and government involvement in IETF and NRO processes was again highlighted. Some of these are the issues that had been raised to us previously. We had taken those issues on board. We had sent them to the communities, and they were part of a previous process that was there. Some of them were statements of the additional and unnecessary process to the current civil process. Again, that's we fleshed out a lot of things that were perhaps understood, which may be where that needs to go to. And then the global customers was again an inclusion concept. So I really think this perhaps can be phrased as a question related to inclusion overall. Can we go to the next page? So again, this was the security, stability, and resiliency. The areas here that I thought were missing, the two that were captured very well, was there was a concern that people who might be upset about the jurisdiction or the unilateral oversight may create a parallel DNS system. Again, that was two comments that had come up with that question. And then depends on the extent to which the accountability enhancements affirm and support ICANN's responsibility. That's an element which others also picked up on, dependency issues that might affect the security and stability. And then the two other things that were mentioned across a number of comments related to security and stability were the root zone function, because a number of people said failure to actually appropriately deal with the root zone function would impact the security and stability. And the other one was concerns about separation, some people intimated would affect the security and stability of the internet. So those two are not captured in the slide, but they were also across a number of comments, issues that were raised related to security and stability. If we can go to the next one. Meeting the needs of IANA partners and customers, it was interesting to see sometimes who selected themselves out of answering this question because they thought they were covered by the question and therefore thought they had a conflict in answering the question, which I don't think was our intent for them to do. This issue was less determinative, and I think the part B is actually the correct part of this issue in the sense that most people just repeated something they had said somewhere else as a justification for this. The same is true for the openness question. In many cases, people were just repeating something they had said in security and stability or somewhere else. So the answers to these two questions were not novel. Both of them drew a majority positive, but there were concerns related to both openness and related to the expectations. Openness is the next one, if we could go to it. And then the last one. This was a large issue that was raised by a number of commentators, and it was interesting because they went on both sides of the issue. So there were the people who were concerned that remaining in the U.S. might create some kind of destabilization because an action that the U.S. might take. There was a concern, and I think this was only in one that I had seen, that PTI might seek to become an intergovernmental organization. So this was the one where, there are a few places where hypotheticals were the rule of the day.
It's an international organization, not an intergovernmental organization. I think the concern was becomes the Red Cross. Yeah.
But there's still the hypothetical concepts, what role the U.S. government might take in legislation in the future, et cetera. There was the answer that we had the discussion, which Cavus was elaborating on in our last question, related to the role of the GAC in both the CSC and as an owner of CCTLDs. And then lastly, the fact that the ICG does not demand any form of legal immunity so that there might be governmental interference in the DNS system, which, again, I'm not exactly sure the legal basis upon which they would find the resolution to that issue. That was the general realm of the comments. I'm going to go through a second. I took the liberty of trying to put a narrative together to summarize the responses, and I just want to go to that as a foil for how we might move the conversation forward. So if now you could put up the text on the left screen. So, and we should probably moderate the number because I think 75% is predicated on the approximate being correct, and I don't think we should have a percentage for the number. But what I try to do, because I remember when we were speaking about this early on, some people had said, wouldn't it be good if we could have some kind of a narrative description of the answers so as not to be specific but to go through them. And this was circulated to all of you, so if it's easier to look at your screen than to look at on screen, all of you should have this in your inbox. The concept at first, there was a general affirmation of the proposal. I think we can eliminate the 75%, but just to indicate there was a substantial affirmation, a number of issues were raised. The first one was inclusion. If we can scroll up. And then here we talk about some of the concerns that were raised in terms of the narrower definition of multi-stakeholder than Tunis, the concern of formal inclusion, and the concern that were raised previously with community processes regarding openness and participation. And so part of the question becomes how we want to deal with some of these. And so I was trying to deal with the raising of the concern and some of the answers related to that within those concerns so we contain them. But perhaps we can talk about sections at a time, because inclusion was certainly one of the sections, but I think for the matters of inclusion, with the exception of, I think, the global participation concerns, they were all questions that have been addressed in the community processes, or in the case of they didn't like the definition or the perceived definition of multi-stakeholder by NTIA, are not within the scope of what the ICG is supposed to review. So I'm not going to worry about the specific text. We can do some online editing of that into the future. But the answer to the inclusion questions was really either they've been addressed in the communities or they are outside of scope. The one thing I think that is something that we may just refer to the communities for their information was the concerns related to global participation based on issues of cultural linguistics and travel costs, unless those have already been dealt with adequately by the community, in which case we can also relegate them to having been discussed and addressed. But I do think when we come to inclusion issues, that is the kind of issue that there needs to be a high level of sensitivity to when it gets addressed. Again, I wasn't aware whether that level of issue had been discussed. To the extent that it has been discussed, we can use the same addressed in community process. But I'd like to open the inclusion portion up for some level of discussion. And my computer has gone to sleep, so if you were on the, if someone has the ICG open, tell me if anyone's raised their hand, because I can't see it on mine at the moment. Okay, now we need to develop a convention, does silence mean assent? Okay, I don't hear humming, but I don't hear objections. Okay, can I just ask the specific question, does anyone know if issues of concern related to global participation in terms of those linguistics and cultural sensitivities were discussed, and should they be considered addressed, or should that be considered something we refer? Alyssa?
So the NTIA criteria, I would have to look back at it, but I think I know it well enough, is, you know, does the proposal uphold the multi-stakeholder model, right? Which is a little different of a question than was the proposal developed in a multi-stakeholder fashion or in an inclusive fashion? And we did get some comments that are not reflected in this set of slides, which were about the process to develop the proposal. So I would actually say that to the extent that people answered this question by reference to the process for developing the proposal, we shouldn't actually include our assessment of those comments in our answer to this question. Because I think we should focus our answer about this specific criteria on the criteria itself, and we should have a separate way to deal with the process complaints. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess the question is what's the separate way? Because I was trying to figure out how to capture it.
Right. So we definitely need to either in Part Zero or potentially in this summary document. I think we need to capture the complaints about the process and then answer the question that you posed, which is, you know, are they valid complaints? Were they brought to the OCs and so forth? So I do think we need to have an explanation for how we addressed these mm-hmm. comments. But all I'm saying is that I don't think that explanation belongs with the assessment of the NTIA criteria.
Okay, I guess I would agree that, I mean, the concept of no action is here because it's not relevant to the question posed is the final resolution of this. I think if we're looking at the summary document, we may want to use where people raised the question, even if the question was raised incorrectly, to answer it. That wouldn't mean, because the concept is the summary document is not meant to be, this goes into Part Zero. This is the way we've taken a look at the questions that were raised. I have a little trouble because they raised it in the context of this, even though it wasn't correct. So what I'm happy to do is, I mean, we've come to the same conclusion, I think, Alyssa, which is that there is no action to take related to these items. Because they are specifically not germane to that part of the multi-stakeholder process. So there was no action going forward being suggested. The question is, do we then find a different way to address those issues altogether, or do we keep them in this for the purpose of the summary document, understanding there'll be no reflection of this in Part Zero?
Yes, I think we should do the latter. I do think we need to talk about these in the summary document, assuming we produce the summary document. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But while I have the floor, I think we can fairly say that we have assessed the openness and inclusiveness of the processes a couple of times already because we got comments along the way about the processes, right? And so I think we can fairly say that there's no limit to the community's efforts to keep trying to make the processes more open and inclusive. There is always more that could be done, but given the relatively minimal number of comments we received that were complaining about this and the broad participation that we did observe ourselves, we feel that the processes were open and inclusive. I mean, I think that's kind of, that would be my conclusion, anyway. Who Are you able to run the queue now, or are you okay?
But I'm having a visual queue right here. So Russ,
thanks, Joe and Alyssa. I wanted to just comment to follow on to Alyssa's suggestion there. I think that what we can very, very strongly assert is that our processes and the other processes of the operational communities were all completely and fully open, and they were as inclusive as we could make them, but we, as the developers of this set of things, can never guarantee that everybody was present, you know, so we included everybody that showed up, but the ones that didn't show up, there's nothing we can do about that. So I think the open, we can say very strongly, the inclusive, we can say it is for everyone that showed up, but we can't force people to show up.
Any other comments? Okay, can we scroll to the next? And if we could possibly have the right screen on the same topic as we're dealing on the left screen, that'd be great. So if the right screen could go to security and stability, that'd be great. Okay, so the security and stability, we already kind of indicated that there were a couple that had not been captured on the right screen. I tried to capture them. So the hypothesized dissatisfaction of jurisdiction that might lead to creation of parallel DNS and lead to fragmentation, that was not a shared concern across the majority of comments. The concerns were predicated on the ability to achieve some sort of needed actions and contracts to appropriately enforce them. This is a matter that communities address in their further implementation work with legal bases for actions. Can you scroll down, please? Being established in the proposal and across existing work streams, because I think we agree that this is something that is already being dealt with. This is not a new issue that we're looking at. And finally, was the impact that separation or multiple operators might have on the security and stability. I was here, it's a question of what we decide we will be transmitting to the communities as a question. So the idea is, to the extent that we are asking them to comment on separation, then that's being done as a reference to them. If not, we will decide that we have found those answers ourselves if we're not transmitting them for a new discussion. And then finally, a couple of commentators were concerned on changes to the root zone. And here it's just the concept that the root zone is the subject of a parallel work stream, and that concerns related to the root zones have been transmitted to the appropriate community or communities. And that would be the process that Milton was working through. And that was my way of addressing stability and security, where our real action items related to security and stability were perhaps a clarification of separation and the parallel processes that are going on in root zone, but the other issues that were raised related to security and stability seems to have already been addressed as part of the process. So again, there wasn't any new action besides the actions we were already taking out of other cross-cutting issues related to separation or related to root zone management. Let's open this one for discussion if anyone has any comments to make. Okay, the production of a summary was meant to help spur conversation, not prevent conversation. Russ, is your flag still up or is this vestigial?
Well, actually, it was, but I do have something I'd like to add here. Russ Mundy, for the record. And that is a question about A there. When you're listing the PTI, the separation process, the root zone management, this is the summary that talks about the different types of issues related to this from the comments. And when you're addressing PTI and separation processes, are they really related to the topic that was discussed earlier today? Is that what these are? Okay. Yeah. As opposed to the separation, the functional separation in the root zone management piece that we had a short discussion on earlier.
So here's part of the problem. Every time anyone had a comment, and in their comment they were dissatisfied with something, they indicated that it can impair the security and stability of the Internet. And so there wasn't any linkage necessarily as to how, just a statement that it might. I will say that I actually didn't cover the PTI issue in the response, so the PTI issue probably needs to be a little bit more added, because some people were considering that the structural elements of the PTI itself could create an issue of security and stability. But at some point, some of these issues are really things that have been addressed in the community processes, so I still don't think they add to our response. The question only becomes whether we feel we need to be more complete in addressing the topics where someone may have associated security and stability with the concept. Alyssa?
I think a lot of our assessment of how the proposal fares against this criteria has and will be covered by all the other things we've already discussed. I don't actually think we will have much more to say. Like, once we know what we're going to say about the root zone maintainer and the PTI and the separation processes, then I don't think we will have much else to say. That was kind of what I took from reading those things. I agree with you that you could claim that anything jeopardizes the stability of the Internet, but that doesn't mean we have to tick through all of those in trying to explain to NTIA how we think the proposal meets the criteria.
And I think this is perhaps one section that cross-reference would be useful once we have the other sections highlighted. Cavus, please.
Yes, Joe, I agree with you. My reading of all these comments is that whenever any commenter is running in short of any valid argument, he recourse to security, stability, and resiliency. Even the ICANN board, in their proposal for MTM, they refer to that. So I don't think that needs to be discussed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Could we scroll down to the role of governments? I took them out of sequence because I thought that the openness and the expectations, because they were dealt with across the other comments, weren't going to be detailed responses. The role of governments had a different set of comments associated with it. There were a couple of comments about government roles would be too constrained and not able to fill all the criteria of the Tunis agenda. A couple highlighted the concern of the possible role of continuing U.S. Jurisdiction. There were some who talked about the enhanced voting role for the GAC and concern of governments as owners of CCTLDs and the CSE. That last concern about the lack of immunity. In response to that, I think we can't look at all of the hypothetical situation, and we've relied on community processes to find the right balance across stakeholder equities and operational requirements. And again, we don't see any further action to be taken on this at this point. I think there will be, for instance, related to the GAC role, there will be greater clarification that comes in out of some of the other comments. But again, I don't think the broad support across the comments was that this was going in a multi-stakeholder process and not an intergovernmental process. Q-wise, I think we have Daniel and then Cavus.
Thank you. This is Daniel Karnberg. I absolutely agree with the observation that the security and stability seems to be kind of an excuse seems to be referenced in a very general way and often sort of out of place. However, I don't think we as the ICG can just summarily say whenever this is mentioned, it's irrelevant. So I caution us against doing that, and I propose to state clearly that we took into account when working on the comments, we took into account references to security and stability only when they were concrete enough so that we could relate them to something. You know, I'm looking for the right language, but we need to say this or something like it in order to avoid to address it each and every time, but to make sure that we weren't consciously ignoring some issues that were raised. So what I'm basically saying, sorry for being so long-winded, what I'm basically saying is we have to say somewhere in our deliverable that some comments refer to security and stability, and we could only properly address those that made clear in what way security and stability was endangered. Did I make myself clear, I hope?
Yeah, I think I got the gist of that to capture, and I don't think it's in there yet, so thank you. Kavus?
Yes, Joe. I think some of these comments is relating to the activities of CCWG, which is still under discussions. For instance, increased role of GAC. GAC has not decided even participate in the voting process at all. So I think it is just something in the sky. Moreover, recently ICANN proposed a new method, MEM, which may totally change. So some of these things are not relevant at all. And then the other thing is that fears that PTI might seek international organization. How? Where we have the fear that PTI may be taken by international organization? I have read the PTI many times. I participated. I don't see that fear at all. So it is just not a reply from ICG between ourselves. It is an unfunded argument. I don't think this is valid. So some of the arguments are not valid. Thank you.
All right. That was, I think, what prompted me to say the proposal cannot address all hypothetical situations, because a number of these are just that, hypothetical situations that someone is creating out of whole cloth. We can be more specific on that if people would like. I actually didn't want to give them any more time than to dismiss them as hypothetical situations. I think on the clarification which will come up as a result of the PTI, we can also modify this when it comes to the clarifications related to the GAC and enhanced voting and things like that. So I think all of these documents will be working together and graduating in flux as we get more precise answers to the PTI questions. We can then also adapt these answers to that. And Russ, I do see you. Very, very, very nice use of your flag. You get style points and get recognized at the same time.
Thanks very much, Joe. Martin Boyle here. Yeah, I put it like that because every time I tried to stand it up, it kept on falling over. So I thought it was a good engineering solution. I think I've got two comments. But firstly, the fact we're on the role of government section. If I put my comment in on this section first, I think what this text fails to recognise is that there were quite a lot of comments that I read which had the commentators, not always, in fact, very rarely governments, as the commentators, saying that the governments actually have a role as one of the stakeholder groups in a multi-stakeholder environment. And it seemed to me that in this text it would be worthwhile putting that as a comment in, because it wasn't all negative about the role of governments, but the government's view as being an important part of that process. So I think that would be helpful. As I say, I can't remember the numbers, but certainly I can at least remember four or five of the documents that I read which made that point. The other point I'd like to make, and sorry for being a bit tardy, was to go back to the section on stability and security. And there are two points in that text where you refer, where you say that we will refer back to the communities for their consideration. And in both cases, again, there didn't seem to me to be, of the ones I've read, and there might have been more, but there didn't seem to be that many concerns that would suggest you needed to go back to the communities unless you actually identify what it is you need the communities to say to you. In other words, have some idea of what answer you're looking for before you go out to the communities to get them to clarify it. At the moment, I think the question is just a little bit too general. It's part of wider discussions that we've had, including the idea of separation as being a mechanism that helps preserve the security and stability of the internet, because if your operator is failing badly, you need to have a process for replacing them. So it just seems to me that on those two questions, we need to have a certain clarity of what it is we're hoping to get from asking the question, rather than asking a sort of general question, which would be the answer is, well, of course we considered it. Thanks.
So I think this is, again, where we will work collaboratively with the rest of the proposal development. So there's a group looking at the question related to separation. And so the concept of what we are asking the communities related to separation can be specified once that group has done it work. On the root zone management, Milton is specifying what we are asking related to root zone management, and we can incorporate that. What I want to avoid is that the summary document repeats itself all over the place. So I think what we have is we'll consider these as placeholders for more specific, and I think when we find out that the more specific was written somewhere else, we will say these issues are being considered already, please see paragraph 7. And then that will be where the specific text is being highlighted. So if that works, we'll consider these as placeholders. We'll wait, and then as we get to the merging process, we'll remove the placeholders. But maybe what I will do is, in the next version of this document, I will just color code those as highlighted yellow to indicate that it's not text, it's placeholder. Thanks. And I will definitely take on board the government, because that was... it was stated that there was an appropriate role already for governments, and a statement was that did not impair in any way the NTIA criteria, and I think that's a very important statement to make. Thanks. Russ?
Thanks, Joe. Russ Mundy here for the record. I was going to raise pretty much the same point with respect to governments and the fact that that it was mentioned that this was a good thing, and it was the appropriate way for involvement, and that it met the criteria, because that was one. It's sort of a tension that exists in the March 14th tasking letter, and so having it crafted in a way that shows that government involvement is necessary, but it is as part of the multi-stakeholder thing, I think it really is important. The other thing that struck me during this discussion is this particular area of our request for comments is in some way the most difficult for us to assemble with respect to the overall process, because I don't know that we can easily and readily relate it back to the contents of what we got from the three operational communities. And this is actually perhaps a possibility or a possible place where we, the ICG, can make some statements about how we see the overall directive criteria that we were given by the NTIA have been met, and as sort of an integration function, if you will, that might at least to an extent help with some of the concerns you brought up earlier, Jill.
Yeah, I mean, a number of the commentators started their comments off related to we believe that the ICG's review of the ability to make the criteria was correct. So they were actually looking at our estimation. So I think this is absolutely correct that this is one of the places where we have a perhaps slightly larger remit of drafting if we think that something in our proposal could be clarified or updated to that. I will say that after having gone through them, and I'm going to do a belt and suspenders exercise of going to the source comments and reviewing the source comments again just to make sure we captured the full flavor of the source comment. But I do think the vast majority of the source comments were actually reviewed in a way that the NTIA criteria does not create an action item for us, because I do think we've either met them or the concerns that were raised were addressed elsewhere. So I think this is an area where we will have very little action that is required of us. But I also think this is an area where we should defer to the other topics that are more specific on this if they're already covering it, and then just cross-reference. So what I'm going to do as the shorthand, for instance, on the GAC portion, is to also highlight that in yellow. And the places that are highlighted in yellow, we will resolve based on the text of other sections to see if they have already given a more detailed response, and then we'll just cross-reference to the response that's already somewhere in. It might be in the PTI section, et cetera, because I think then it makes this section coherent with the rest of the paper. We've got, Russ, you're already taken care of, right?
Yeah.
Then Milton, and then Alyssa.
Yeah, I just wanted to, this is Milton Mueller. I wanted to question this editorializing that's been proposed by Martin and Russ regarding this sort of slap on the back for governments and saying, yeah, it's good that you're involved. I think I'm not quite sure of what the relevance of that. There's a very simple question here. It says, does this proposal replace the NTIA with a government-led or intergovernmental solution? If it does, it's bad. It won't qualify. And so the comments are either saying yes or no. It's true that some of the comments say, no, it doesn't replace it with a government-led, but because governments are participating as on equal footing with all the others, and that's fine. But I don't understand why we suddenly have to single out a particular stakeholder group and say, yeah, we're really glad you're involved. Why don't we do that with civil society or the technical community or what? I mean, just answer the question.
Milton, I guess my take on that, and I'll let the I'll give the two authors of the statement the right to reply. But my take on that is, I don't think we should be perhaps as effusive in the thanks that the governments are participating. But a clarification that the fact that the governments are participating does not negatively impact the compliance with the NTIA criteria, I think, is the nature of the phrasing we want, because I think there's some confusion that the presence of governments at all creates an implication. So I think that's a...
But who has said that the presence of governments at all creates a problem? I didn't see any comment that said that.
To me, it was a confusion that seemed to be underlying some of the comments.
It's like almost all the comments said, no, there's no concern here. A few of them said there is a concern. And most of those concerns are about the U.S. government, which, you know, it's maybe still legitimate or maybe not. But so do we want to say, yeah, it's good the U.S. government is still involved, even if it's not in control of the route? I mean, why don't we just handle this in a very straightforward way and say, is this a legitimate concern or not? And it seems like it's very simple. The majority say it's not a concern. There are a few minor issues related to the role of governments, mostly having to do with the CCWG proposal. But I don't know. Let's just try to play it straight. Don't editorialize.
Okay, we've got Alyssa. This is the role I've got so far. Alyssa, Martin, are you in or out? He'll stay in. See, he takes the flag down, but he leaves the hand up very, very wily. And then just to, I'm going to go then to Michael, because you didn't get on the hand here, but you've got your flag up. Then Cavus, then Daniel. That's the order we've got so far. Alyssa?
I wanted to respond to something that Russ said, which was about, you know, having not reflecting some of this in the individual proposals and therefore it being kind of the ICG's responsibility. The text that we already have in Part Zero actually does talk about how the individual pieces of the proposal do not replace NTIA's role with a government or intergovernmental organization. So I just wanted to flag that is already there. I think that's a pretty strong part of the text that we have, and we should certainly add to it based on the public comments. But we already have that written, which I think is good. In response to Milton's comments, I agree that we should, you know, stick to stating the facts. But I also think it's perfectly reasonable, whether it be in response to this question or elsewhere in the proposal text, for us to explain what the envisioned role of governments is in addition to what it isn't. This is a question about what it isn't. I think in terms of being able to defend the proposal later, one of the interesting questions that people have in their minds, in particular in the U.S. government, is what the role of governments is, in addition to the fact that the proposal doesn't replace NTIA's role with a government or intergovernmental solution. So it might not be part of this, but I think it's acceptable for the proposal to state somewhere how governments will participate, because it's a detail that people are curious about.
Okay, thank you. Martin?
Thanks, Joe. The confusion over my hand going down or not going down was the fact that much of what I wanted to say you had already said. But in direct response to Milton, yes, there were commentators who focused on what they perceived to be possible enhanced voting role for the GAC, blah, 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 blah. So what you're doing is you're picking up a small number of comments that are addressing a very specific part of government engagement in the process. There were other comments that made it very clear that the government engagement in the processes was actually a very constructive thing, but the governments were not in a position where they dominated and they breached the NTIA criteria by having a say that made it a governmental-led solution. And if I remember correctly, the NTIA criteria are that it should not be a government or intergovernmental-led procedure. And therefore, if we're going to have comments that are specifically picking out, well, you know, and we've got to keep this under control, which might then subsequently be interpreted as keeping governments out of the system, and that's the bit that I'm concerned about, then I would like to make sure that we have the counterbalancing statement of the positive value of the government's engagement. So it's really a matter of getting the balance right in this paragraph. And at the moment, I think, certainly from the commentaries that I have read, just seems to me to be not quite in the right place. Thanks.
Okay, before I continue with the rest of the line, I just want to maybe pull up the fact that Alyssa had tried to give us a glimmer of hope of getting outside of this never-ending cycle of not agreeing. And that glimmer of hope was that perhaps we find a different place in the document to make the point about the government's role as legitimate as a stakeholder, but not here where it's not directly in the answer to the question. Because I think that may be satisfying all sides of the equation as to what they are looking to get out of. To Milton, it goes to the, we're not adding anything to the question that isn't absolutely necessary to answer it. But to Martin, we are clarifying the position to make sure that it is actually in the paper, stated in a positive fashion, not an effusive fashion, but a factual fashion as to what the role of governments would be. In the help of trying to keep us on time, I just posit that as a potential solution, but I will go back to the queue, and feel free to take yourself out of the queue if that solution is sufficient to address your needs. But it's going to be Cavus and then Michael.
Joe, I strongly support the position of Milton. We should avoid any sympathy or antipathy relating to a particular stakeholder, whether they have a positive role or negative role, and so on and so forth. We should answer the questions. When I read 37 out of 47, it's 80.5%. More than 4 or 5. The most democratic nation in the world in every decision doesn't go beyond that. So I think our answer would be yes or no. And here the answer is it does not replace. Without saying that government have positive role or government have negative roles, because even you say the positive role, maybe government criticizes, how you come to that conclusions? Our role currently or in future would not be as positive as you think. Let us be totally neutral, and minimizing the comments on the NTIA procedures. And second, I think you also may agree with me that it is not up to ICG to redefine or interpret the NTIA criteria. That is written by them. Our role would be yes or no according to the comments that we have received. We have received less comments. It is not our fault. It's the fault of the people. It was open to everybody. 47 out of all, I don't know how many, 1,000 and so on and so forth. So I put much in favor of the Milton approach. Yes or no in any position, but without any explanation. The more detail, we have difficulty in future. And criticism. Thank you.
Michael?
Thank you. I understand and support the spirit of what Martin said and Russ said, and also there shouldn't be anything invented. To the issue is singling out governments. Governments are singled out. The whole issue of having one criterion about governments means they're singled out. So there shouldn't be anything invented. I agree, but there should be faithfully. Represented what the comments are, and I concur also with Alyssa's proposal for a way out. I have a practical issue, just the readability of one of the things we have at this in this text. We talk about the concern about immunity, and I'm just wondering if somebody who reads it who's not in the game knows what we're talking about. Immunity of whom?
Thank you, and I think we can take that on. I would actually ask the question, in all honesty, that question was so far out of left field, can we just ignore that topic altogether?
Because
I think the way to handle the concern about how many people might interpret immunity is to suggest that this question really doesn't need to be highlighted as a topical issue. It was an outlier in every really fashion related to this topic. Okay. Daniel, did you take yourself out of the queue? Okay. Oh, I'm saying you took yourself out of the table, too. Okay. Zhao Dong?
This is Zhao Dong Li speaking. I fully support that. We don't need have more clarification for the definition of multi-stakeholder or government rules on multi-stakeholder model. So I think in the past years, a lot of argument about the role of how government play in the multi-stakeholder model, and we cannot 100% to define what the role is. So I fully support that. We don't need to do more for that. It's just a reference to some definition, like clarification for what is stakeholder matter is okay. But another comment is we need to return it back to the community for this question, how to make sure that the community understand now the current proposal without the only one government to control the procedure for annual functions. So I think there is some concern about the U.S. government with Verizon contract. So we just return back to the community to clarify.
Thank you. I think that issue is relevant to what is being asked in the root zone function in a parallel inquiry that Milton is driving. So I don't think we need to, though, address it any further in this section of the document.
I think it depends on what is an function. If we think that it's not a part of the an function, it's no problem. But if we think that it's part of the an function, it's an issue.
Right, but we have had a long discussion about the fact that this was not included in our specific remit, that it was given to a parallel working process. Milton has drafted the questions and the topics related to the clarification of the parallel working process. It will be in another part of the paper, so I don't see us raising it here because I think it then confuses again some of the issues which were related to the specific elements of NTIA transition, because they specifically did not give us this element of transition to consider. But it will be in other parts of the paper, and I think the question is, if you take a look at Milton's comments, whether those address the concerns you have. Is that a satisfactory way forward? Okay. Russ, did you want to? Okay. I'm going to try to sum up that last piece of the conversation and say that maybe Alyssa won. The answer is I think it is a correct conclusion because no one is 100% satisfied with it, which means that we have reached the optimal mean of not everyone being happy, but everyone being displeased only in the same degree, which is the true meaning of consensus. So I think the issue is we will take a look at part zero to find out if there is a place where we need to clarify that the role of government as an equal participant is stated in a correct fashion, neither effusive nor defensive, merely a factual statement that governments are a stakeholder and are welcome to participate in the process. And then we answer this question as narrowly as possible in the context of the NTIA criteria. If people are generally okay with that, and Alyssa, are you looking to footnote your own suggestion?
I was trying to go back through the proposal while people were talking to find where in the individual components this is mentioned, because that's basically what we can do, right? We have to go off of what the actual proposal says. So I was trying to figure out, I'm pretty positive that the protocol parameters proposal does not speak to this because it just references IETF process. And I don't know about the other two, but that would actually be my suggestion, is that we just reflect directly what is probably in the NAMES community proposal about the role of governments. And that way we know that we're not editorializing and we're just giving a factual statement. But someone needs to do that because I haven't managed to do it in the 5 minutes while people were talking.
Okay. Milton, is your hand back up?
Yes, it is. I just wanted to address what Xiaodong said. I think it's not quite correct for him to be shunted off entirely to the root zone management concerns. I think if, for example, you summarize the comments in point BA up there as saying that some commenters are still concerned about the role of the U.S. government, I think that's accurate, but I think our overall conclusion is that this criterion is met and that there's no ambiguity about that. And, I think there would be nothing wrong with, in our summaries saying that. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? I think Xiaodan was not just talking about the root zone management, but about the overall perception of the dominance of the U.S. government. And some people still have that concern because of jurisdiction, but we don't think that that defeats the criteria. We still think that the criterion is met.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Xiaodan, because I thought you were talking about the VeriSign contract. So if you were meaning to be broader, I was only answering your VeriSign contract element.
I think, and it's only speaking, I think next time I should speak Chinese to Milton because he understands me very clearly.
Milton, I'm assuming your hand is now down? Okay. And then the last one on openness and expectations was just a concept that these issues had already been addressed in previous iterations. I will take an action item to do another redraft of this. I will highlight in yellow those things which might be the subject matter of cross-references to more specific areas of the proposal. To the extent that someone else has defined them better in another area of the proposal, then all we need to do is cross-reference that section. We shouldn't reinvent the wheel. I'll recirculate it in advance of our call on Wednesday, and everyone else should feel free to throw edits towards me if there's anything specific they would like to see, and then I will endeavor to search for that part of the proposal that looks at where the names have addressed this issue. If any of the people intimately familiar with that proposal, of which there are some of you in the room, already know where that place is, then I would appreciate you sending me the link to where that place is. Any further questions? If not, let's try to keep on schedule.
Thank you, Joe. So I do have two questions. So one is, are you prepared to do the same task that we asked of Milton, which is to separate out language you think can go into Part Zero from this strikes me as a very strong basis for the beginning of the summary document. Do you think you could produce or extract out or whatever text that you think belongs in Part Zero in response to the NTIA criteria, if you think there is any?
Yeah, I'm short of a conclusory statement, I'm not sure. Okay. There is a whole lot of stuff, although elements in here that are capturing some of those more detailed things that come from the others are probably Part Zero material, but they don't originate from here, so I wouldn't consider them coming from here. But I'll go through that and make a shot at this might be something we add in Part Zero.
Okay.
Happy to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you. My other question is, just as this is developing, if you would, since you've basically started the summary document, if you would be willing to be the editor of it overall, not just this part, but as the other pieces come in. You can think about that for a little while if you want.
I'm happy to be a co-editor, and this is why I just say co-editor, because there are some issues that are more technically complex than I'm capable to resolve. So as long as you give me a partner in crime that has better technical chops than I have, then the answer is yes.
Okay, thanks. We'll figure that out over lunch or something. Thank you, Joe. Our next topic is the CCTLD issues. So we turn to Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you. Well, just briefly, to some figures here for statistics. So we had for the CCTLD issues roughly 17 comments in total, and the most of them were affiliated with the CCTLD managers or the organizations who managing or representing CCTLD managers, and one was also included from the CCNSO Council. So, so just to give you a figure about of the representation of the comments themselves. One comment was, so when we assessed the comments all over, one of the comments related to the coming from a CCTLD was assessed and rated by those who assessed the comments as being hostile. So I've never seen any other comment from the out of the 157 comments who got to that level of rating. So others were rated in being not in agreement with the proposal or objecting to that, but this must be highlighted that was rated as hostile. So the kinds of comments who were made are here on this slide. And I quickly go through them. One area was in relation to a general point. That means there is ongoing work to be done within several groups related to the CCTLDs. And so that means that the text, as it is to some extent in the proposal, is not longer valid because it's ongoing work on that. But this relates to, I would say, also to other points, not only related to CCTLD. And that is a point which should be taken into account by all of us who are going to through the comments and who will go again to the through the proposal in future in order to try to update the text along the development of the different points, various points. That is under 1A1. A fairly amount of comments is circling around the question which is related to policy development of in the CCTLD sector, and which is a reference to the so-called ICP1 document, and there's concern in the comments about and discussion about whether this reference is right to be put in the proposal or not, and there is concern about and some of the commenters are requesting that this reference should be withdrawn. I wonder whether this is still an issue or not, because I couldn't for myself, I couldn't understand why it is not has not been discussed, or let me say why there was not a solution found on the CWG with regards to that. Not yet, but maybe there's explanation on that. Another item which is contentious here is about the appeals mechanism for CCTLD delegation and redelegation in future. So commenters are missing that the appeals mechanism they miss an appeals mechanism in the proposal for this kind of delegation, redelegation. And others are arguing, well, this is underway. This is a policy development process within the community, but it takes time, to develop such a process. And then this is the open question on that. What should be done until this may be available? And before, if that is not available at the time the transition is going to take place, so this is still an open question, a contentious item. How to deal with that? There's one comment with regards to the membership in the future IANA functions review team. So there is, as you know, in the CWG proposal, there's the IFR is to be going to be established, and it's composed by several stakeholders, and there are figures shown here, how many members each stakeholder should have or send to that committee. So there is 1.11 between the different CCNOs, CCTLD kinds. The one part which is not related to the CCNSO group is given one member. And the question here is, or the request here is, well, to not to make that obligatory, just to do that as an option. Maybe this is a point, I don't know where the discussion on that is, but maybe it could also, we can get some explanations here during the discussion. Number D reflects this very hard comment, which is also classified as hostile. But one point is drawn from that. In general, it's not, to my knowledge, not very much explained, and there is no rationale given. Just as a general comment, is saying that the transition carried out under this proposal would worsen the positions of the CCTLD managers, both individually and collectively. For me personally, that was because there was no rationale given, rather than a statement to that. So we put it here on this list in this regard. A last point, which was debated also in other environment, is the SLAs. That the SLAs should be in place before the transition takes place. And the request is here that reference should be made in the proposal with regards to that. As I have heard, this point is not contentious, but is rather than a point for ongoing work. This may have a solution, and we should think about whether we should make reference and in what kind we should make reference to that issue here in the proposal. So with that, my take is that the question of ICP 1 may be a point, and the PDB versus proposal of appeals mechanism in the proposal here, maybe the points which may take some time to discuss, but I'm open for that discussion, and I open the floor for discussion here. And please also raise your hands in the Adobe Connect. At first, my question would be first, from your point of view, did we cover all points, or is anybody of the opinion that something is missing here, which should be included, and then discuss all the points? I see Martin first.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich, for a very good analysis. There were perhaps some issues that came up on jurisdiction, but I think we've dealt with those separately. And so I think your list, certainly for me, reflected what I had read. If I go through the five general headings that you've produced, and I'm sure that Keith, who I see is next in the queue, will want to go into some detail on some of the others, on some of them as well. For A, I think what has been pointed out is a slight inaccuracy or a difficulty of interpretation of a text in the CWG report. And therefore, I wonder whether the logical thing would be for the ICG to have in its correspondence with the CWG simply a, we've received these comments, we would like your confirmation that these comments are accurate and seek your confirmation that they are with an amendment of the text. For B, I think you were quite right in referring to this one as being a very difficult issue. This is on independent review processes, an appeals mechanism, and there's probably quite a number of different views as to what an appeals mechanism for CCTLD delegation and redelegation should be. A policy development process will certainly take time to develop. I think I would certainly recognise that would be a number of CCTLDs that would be seriously concerned if action that was affecting their country were to be delayed, their country code were to be delayed because the policy process wasn't in place. But I think that one is one that I have no easy answer to, other than to say, well, this is a post-transition action needed. C, which is the IANA functions review, this was some text that was drafted in one on one call, and I can understand the comment that was made in that there are very few non-CCNSO CCTLDs that are active in the environment, and therefore almost every time you have an IANA functions review, you'll be calling on Denmark or the Ascension Islands to put forward somebody to do that work. That perhaps is a point of clarification for the CWG and can be dealt with in that way. I'm not really convinced it is a significant issue. My recollection was that Kiga did actually suggest some wording, which was something along the lines of, where possible, it should be a non-CCNSO CCTLD. For D, well, I'm sure that will be quite a number of other CCTLDs will say that a transition carried under this proposal would improve the positions of CCTLD managers. That, I think, is just a matter of individual view. I think I would just note that only one CCTLD said that. And under E, the service level expectations, the work is in hand. We are all conscious of the need to have service level expectations in place by the time of transition, and a process for adopting and modifying service levels going forward. So I think the CWG is in fact well aware of that and is carrying on work there. I have no views as to whether we really ought to rub their noses in it and say get a move on, or just leave them to carry on doing the work. They are conscious that it needs to be done before final transition. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Just a question for clarification to point B. Did I get it right? Well, that you're taking is, well, that there is a this is going to be done post-transition? You know, the work here, so is that your suggestion that, or did it, did I get that wrong?
My recollection was that the CCNSO is aware of the need to do the policy development process, has not started it yet, and given the expectations for a transition date, will certainly not have finished in time. So I believe, but I couldn't say, Keith is in fact a councillor on the CCNSO, so he might be able to give chapter and verse as to what the CCNSO Council has actually said on that.
Thanks. Keith, please.
Keith Davidson, for the record. Thank you. Thank you, Wolfelbrook, for your very good dissertation on the issues. Dealing, as Martin has, with the points individually, regarding ICP1, firstly, it's important to note that the CWG at the time was trying to hit a moving target that was moving fairly quickly in terms of the implementation of the framework of interpretation, which cautiously asserted that there were only two sets of policies and guidelines that impact CCTLD delegations and redelegations. That was RFC 1591 and the GAC Principles 2005, and that any reference to ICP 1, News Memo 1, etc., was not relevant to applicable policy. So at the time, CWG only knew that that was in draft form as part of the framework of interpretations work, but subsequent to that, the framework of interpretation has been received and accepted by the ICANN board and is now in the process of being implemented. So there is now a clear categorisation that ICP1 does not form policy. So I think to write back, as Martin suggests, to the CWG and suggest that with the new knowledge of the status of the framework of interpretation, that it would be appropriate that they might review their work and revise their text as a result of that. In terms of B, this is a really difficult issue in terms of an appeals mechanism. There has been an RFC 1591 penned in 1994, the suggestion that there should be an appeals mechanism to hear issues of delegations and probably more importantly redelegations, but that appeals mechanism has never existed. So for it to not exist for another period of time probably doesn't matter. However, the suggestion that the IRP would be an appropriate mechanism falls quite short of actual requirements. It may be in an instance that significantly interested parties in a CCTLD might collectively agree to an IRP, but I doubt many governments would want to have issues around a redelegation of their CCTLD being held in the sense of an IRP hearing in the US rather than under applicable local law. So if a government did consent as a significantly interested party, maybe it could apply, but I don't see a universal applicability of the IRP in the interim. The CCNSO, and I speak as Vice Chair of the CCNSO Council now, the CCNSO recognises that it has some urgent work to do in terms of policy development relating to these topics, and is considering between now and Dublin the formation of working groups to specifically address the appeals mechanism as referred to in RFC 1591, and also to develop a policy for retirement of CCTLDs, which is entirely absent at the moment. So the CCNSO is aware of its obligations and so on. It is also seeking the agreement with the ICANN board potentially that delegations and redelegations that are not considered crucial or impacting the ongoing security and stability of the internet be deferred until the policies are developed. So there may be some reduction in terms of the impact or the number of redelegations that would occur. In terms of item C, I fully support Martin's comments that it's not always possible to have a non-CCNSO member, but it would be a nice thing to do if appropriate. Item D, I think there was one other CCTLD manager who also spoke against supporting the transition plan overall, but I think along with the one referred to in item D, I don't think that affects the consensus. There was very strong support from the CCNSO representing 155 CCTLDs from Centre, which represents around 40 or more European CCTLDs, that the transition is supported by them. So while it's not unanimous, I think consensus remains. And finally, item E, the SLE matrix has been finalised and agreed by the parties and is moving towards an implementation process with IANA. Now, I think it probably is appropriate that since the CW or since the NAMES proposal refers to the principles and the fact that the SLEs are being developed, that now that they are developed, we should receive them formally and append them to the NAMES proposal so they form part of our proposal to the US government. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Keith, so I got that it is more or less going to center around the point B here, you know, that which still means to be an open point. The others could be easier solved, as I take it, but I would like to hear about that then from Alyssa and Cavus and Milton and Elise we have on the list. Alyssa first.
Thank you. I agree that's what it was sounding like to me as well, Wolf Ulrich. I was just curious if the folks who participated in the CWG could clarify or maybe characterize if there was discussion about this point B and how extensive it was about the issues collected in point B. Martin, do you mind addressing that quickly?
Yes, Alyssa. There was quite a lot of discussion and no particular resolution. There are, as Keith indicated, certain serious concerns and considerations about what might happen if you had some review process that was entirely based out of country and was now trying to make decisions on a decision that had been made within the country and with a certain degree of support. I guess you've probably got as many ranges of interpretation of how much that should be covered. In the original work, there was a survey done, from the results of that survey of CCTLD managers, they ended up with what could best be described as a lack of any clear direction forward. Thanks.
Thank you. That's helpful. My only other point was, I think, as far as point E is concerned, we do have, we will come back to the topic later today of the completeness of the proposal. And so I think this fits, we have, you know, an item in there about the SLEs, so this will fit with whatever we decide to do as far as characterizing the completeness of the proposal.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Cavus, please.
Yes, most of the things I wanted to say was said very thoroughly by Keith Davidson and Martin on C, D, and E. I don't repeat them. With respect to B, I think the issue is quite clear in paragraph 8 of number 268 of CCWG proposal for public comment. Exclusion, it is mentioned, CCTLD, delegation, redelegation. In the letter of 15th of April 2015, the CWG stewardship indicated that any appeal mechanism developed by the CCWG accountability should not cover CCTLD delegation, redelegation issues, as these are expected to be developed by the CCTLD community through the appropriate processes. As requested by the CWG, decision regarding CCTLD delegation or revocations, which is another term, would be excluded from the standing until the CCTLD community, in coordination with other parties, has developed relevant appeal mechanisms. So we should just cross-reference this, and we can't do anything. Thank you.
Cavus, is coming back to that point. So my take was... my first question, is this a CCWG document or CWG? Yeah.
CCWG.
WG document, okay.
Yeah, document.
So, to my knowledge, but...
Paragraph 8 of the 268, thank you.
But the colleagues here from the CC side could help me. So my take was that it is also yet excluded in the CWG proposal. So it was discussed, but because reference was made to the PDP, which is planned to be taken. But so here the comment is from the CC side itself to think about whether what would happen in case the transition takes place and there is no PDP in place at that time. And the oversight function of the NTIA is going to, in this respect, is going to get away. So that is a question here. Thank you. Cavus, please.
I think the only thing we could do, raise the flag, that's all, that this is something missing and should be developed. We could not do more than that. Thank you.
Okay. Milton, do you have to say to this point something and then Keys? Yeah? Let's first Milton and then you. And then Elise. And
well,
then
if Keith is going to respond directly to this dialogue about the appeals mechanism, he should go first.
Okay, Keith, please.
And I'm also.
No, I've lost my train of thought. Let me come back. I'll put my hand up in the queue, but it's specifically to something Cavus said. I'll look it back at the text.
Okay, so let's move on. Ms. Milton, please.
What about Elise? She had something specifically on this.
Oh, yeah. Then okay.
Yeah, on the appeals thread, do we want to stay on that? So it's more of a clarification and actually a little bit of a concern. And Keith, it's to your statement, and maybe I misunderstood it, so I hope I did. I think what I heard you say was that while the PDP process for an appeals process or for the retirement of a CCTLD is going on, that you're seeking agreement with the ICANN board to potentially defer delegations and redelegations. Did I hear that properly?
Yes, but to defer where it doesn't immediately impact the security and stability of the internet, any decision relating to delegations and redelegations. Now, most of them do affect mostly they would continue, but there have been a number of instances, and a good example might be, for example, the United States minor outlying islands, the massive population of .um being withdrawn from the IANA route, there wouldn't have appeared to have been any urgency around that. It was not a populated CCTLD. There is no policy for the ICANN board or IANA to have acted, but a decision was made to undelegate. Now, if it was made at the request of the US government, it's probably appropriate. And if they felt that that was an issue that immediately affected the security and the stability of the internet, that's probably appropriate too. But it would be better to defer such decisions if it's not immediately impacting until there is a policy in place.
I guess I'm quite concerned that the ICG wouldn't flag this with the CWG as a possible problem, because the way, as an operator, as the IANA functions operator, it puts us in a difficult position of having to decide what's important, what's not important, which country's important to create a delegation for and which country is not important to create a delegation. I'm just a little concerned that we might go down that path.
Again, Keith.
Thank you. I think this is giving me grounds for discomfort at where the CCNSO has decided that it should act, and perhaps some dialogue directly with IANA might be helpful. And so if we take this off list and work on this between now and Dublin anyway.
Well, thanks both, Elise and Keith. Well, I think we are on the way on raising a flag. The question is, what shall be all on the flag? So this is then to be worked out later on. I have Milton, please.
Yeah, this is a minor point, but in reading these comments, I was particularly impressed with this comment you have listed as C, that it was just one of these sort of sensible adjustments in the proposal that seemed to raise a concern that hadn't been properly considered based on my knowledge of how the CCWG or the CWG was developed as part of its proposal. Somebody just threw out the idea, oh, it would be a great idea, we should have non-CCNSO CCTLDs represented. And everybody said, yeah, that's a great idea, but I don't think they really thought it through. And then when Martin said that we're talking, what, about two, maybe three, people that end up doing it all the time. I think, is it possible for us to just sort of say this is a sensible suggestion? Can the CWG adjust its proposal or tweak its proposal to take this into account? Is that, what's that?
Review the comment.
Review the comment? Yeah. I would support doing that.
Okay. Point taken. I have Alyssa, Keith, and Daniel in the queue, and I would like to close the queue then and wrap up. Please, Alyssa.
So coming back to this question about point B and the exchange between Elise and Keith, I think it seems like our task is to, well, I will say, it seems like there is ongoing conversation about this in venues that are really outside of our purview as the ICG. So maybe that's what we need to say. I'm trying to figure out, like, what do we need to say about this? Having received some comments about it, it's clearly a live issue, but it's not. But I don't think we are going to act on it necessarily. So I would be open to suggestions maybe from Keith or anyone else about what do we as the ICG say or do in this regard, because it seems like we need to say something, but I'm not sure what. To Milton's question, normally I think what we've been doing the last few days is we have like a kind of a one-off comment, and we sort of say, well, that wasn't really supported by lots of people, so you know, this comment seems to be in the rough, and maybe we don't address it. But I would, in this case, we're going to go back to the CWG and ask them about point A anyway. And I think it's possible that we will obtain revisions, revised text from them based on that. So if people think that point C could follow that same pattern, I have no objection to that. It's fine with me.
But so it's like, that's precisely the point, is that it's not the kind of comment that you say, oh, is there consensus? You know, it's just like, they made a valid point, nobody else addressed it, so why not?
Yeah. Next is Keyes. Maybe he has some suggestions.
No, certainly not on that point, but I think... can I go back to the point that Cavus made that I wanted to address? The question he raised was, what would happen in a case a decision takes place and there is no PDP at the time and the oversight function of the NTIA is going in this respect? And I think the answer to that is the NTIA claims it never involves itself in an actual decision on a delegation or redelegation, that they merely authorised the change after checking that it was appropriately dealt with by ICANN. So that they're not an appeals mechanism now. So I'll assert my earlier comment that there has been no appeals mechanism in history, and the NTIA going away will not change that in any regard. And to Alyssa's point, I think maybe we need to acknowledge that there is, in part zero, that there is extreme difficulty in hitting moving targets, and we are constantly facing moving targets and the CCTLD world in at least two or three of these issues is moving very quickly. So the proposal can be superseded by events of time rather rapidly, and maybe that's about all we can do. And I think that's it from me. Thank you.
Thanks. Keyes and Daniel, please. Daniel? Okay.
Daniel Karrenberg here. Thank you. I'm... want to raise a principal question here when we are sort of contemplating to forward comments to the operational communities that might prompt them to revise language. We have to be very clear what our expectations are is when we actually, in fact, receive revised language. And that goes for all the comments that we forward and all the suggestions we make to the operational communities for revisions. And I'd like to have a placeholder somewhere, hopefully today, or on the mailing list to discuss on how we deal with that. Let me give me a minute to amplify a little bit. If, for instance, we take the obviously interesting suggestion in C there, and the CWG actually, let's suppose the CWG actually very quickly comes to consensus about this and says, do this or don't this, and communicates that back to us, including new language, saying you take these words out, put these words in, that kind of stuff. There's a question for us: is will we do that? Will we actually change our deliverable? And then we have to make a decision on whether that requires additional process in either consultation with the other operational communities or another round of public comment, or whatever. So I think it's imperative that we indicate, when we forward these kind of things, when we ask these questions of the operational communities, that we indicate a firm view, or at least we communicate somehow to them what's going to happen. They need to know unambiguously, if you change this, then we consider a new round of public comments as necessary, if you touch this. Or we consider if you choose this option roughly, then we're unlikely to require more process. But I think without this information, I think they will lack essential guidance on how to deal with this. Let me amplify once more. In the if I put myself in the role of the operational community, I can say, oh, yeah, C is a nice idea, and we'll get rough consensus. I'll forward this up to the ICG, and then I'm faced with, you know, another 2 months delay, which I might not want. Yeah. So we have to be clear about this. I think we should very consciously discuss this before we take any formal action of requesting or suggesting changes to the operational communities.
So thank you. Thank you, Daniel. This point is taken as well. There is another one. Martin, please. Yeah.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich, for your patience. I'd just like to pick up with on what Daniel has just said. And I think Daniel makes a very good and very important point. I wonder, and this is just a question to the group, whether we can perhaps take a view on things that are essentially minor editorial, as would be anything related to the Section A on Wolf Ulrich's slide, or making a small change as in line with C. So essentially what you're doing is asking them to clarify whether this is an absolute, in the case of question C, or whether they recognise and accept that the comment that has been made under A addresses an inaccuracy, a current inaccuracy in the text. And I wonder whether there is that sort of fine balance line that we can identify that would allow us to offer them a way of making progress without having to go back out to the community yet again. But I'd be interested to hear how others feel about that.
Let me briefly comment on that. So my take is, so with regards to point number A, and this is refers, as I said, to all ongoing work, you know, in between, because as time goes by and the transition proposal is going to be shifted to a later time, then something is going to happen in between and will require updates. So there's no problem, I think, with that. The other thing is how I understood here. Daniel was to be careful making suggestions with regards to the essence of specific proposals made already and requirements. So that's what I took from that. But I have to learn as well. And Lisa, you wanted to comment on that, please.
I think we need to make this decision on a case-by-case basis. So in the case of the question that we might send about point A, I agree that it's almost editorial and that the references have changed in the meantime. And so we go ask them, we point this out to them, and if they want to change their text, it comes back to us and we can clearly indicate that this would not require a further public comment process. I think we could probably do the same thing for C, but I think we may get more of these based on the work of the PTI subteam and so forth. And so for each one, we need to decide how we frame it to the communities. I don't want us to decide in advance right now. We're not going to ask any questions that could potentially yield serious changes to the proposal. But I think before we send any question, we need to have it clear with each single one. I actually don't expect us to have any of those, even coming out of just based on the PTI subteam discussion earlier today. But I don't want it to be a foregone conclusion. So for these two, I think it's we can be explicit that whatever text we get back from them, we would expect to incorporate in the proposal and finalize it shortly thereafter.
Yes. If there is, I see Daniel again and Mary, but if there is not with regards to a principal discussion about how we deal with comments at all, in because I see that it's more of a general point here to be discussed. So I would like to have questions specifically related here to these points here, please. Mary?
Okay.
Thank you.
As long as we have some time to discuss the principles of what the options are and so on, and I agree with you that we should do it, of course, with each and everything that we send back individually, but I think we need to be on one page with what the options are. Yeah. And if we have a placeholder somewhere that we discuss this before we commit to send anything back to the operational communities, then I'm happy. Yeah. I just want to have a feeling around the room that we all know that sort of, you know, these are the different categories of changes that we suggest or entertain, and then we can make a decision with each one which category this is. And I wasn't going anywhere saying like we shouldn't should or should not request, you know, or suggest any changes. That's an orthogonal issue.
So I think there's four categories. You tell me if this covers all of them that have come out of this discussion. One is we just send comments as FYI. We received these comments. We think you should look at them. There's no action that we expect. The second one is we ask a clarification question, which doesn't result in text changes to the proposals, but like this Milton's question about the root zone maintainer, right? We just don't understand. We would like a clarification. The next one is like with point A here, we point out these comments we received. We suggest that the community take a look at them. If they decide to update their text, they can send us updated text. We will incorporate into the proposal without further delay in the process. And then the fourth one is we send them, in the fourth category, I don't think we've come to any of these yet, but if we do, we send them a comment which may yield substantial changes to their proposal, and we indicate to them that if they're substantial enough, we may feel that we have to put the whole thing back out for public comment. Do you think there's another category? Okay. Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you. Are you still in the queue, Daniel?
No.
So please. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, so let me try to wrap up. Well, with regards to those points, I see under A things to be done with regards to clarification. So the first A1 is clear, is not contentious. The second A2 is a point of clarification, I understand. We have got a comment with regards to an interpretation of this issue from the CCNSO Council and others with regards to that we would like to have clarified from the originating operational community if whether this interpretation is correct and is supported. And then, if that is the case, this operational community will act on that accordingly, so with the text. So that's what I understand. That's the first one. Let's just skip B and come back to B. C, regarding to point C, it's also a matter of fact of the question that we may refer to the community and say, okay, there is a comment made in this and that direction. Did you take this into consideration and discuss that and come up with a decision from your side as operational community? With regards to point D, there is no further comment from our side. And with regards to point E, this is also made reference in the discussion about the completeness, where we come on later about that. Regarding point B, delegation, redelegation, it's correct. So that we should raise a flag here. That is that there is an issue, that there seems to be an open item or an item which is in discussion, where the ICG is not in a position well to say this way or that way to go. So that means to decide upon. So, but raising a flag that there might be a point of lacking a certain let me say policy environment until a policy development process is established, and as I can hear, there is no specific proposal from our side to opt for the one or other sides, and we could only refer that back to that community and tell them, okay, take this into consideration and try to find a solution from your side. That is what I took from the discussion here. I have 2 points for two comments from Cavus and from Alyssa, please.
Thank you, Wolf. I think with respect to B, we don't need to say there is a lack of things. We just cross-reference the CCWG, not to leave this impression that without addressing this matter, the transition will be delayed. It's not as such. So we just cross-reference the paragraph of the CCWG, as I mentioned. With respect to C, I think we should not say that sending to the operational community is only one comment made, and it has been discussed extensively in CWG, and that was the point that considered as it is in the report. So one comment saying that it should not be mandatory, should option. We should not ask the operational community. We should say that this issue has been addressed through the consensus-based process. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cavus. Alyssa, please.
So we need to wrap on this because we're supposed to be eating lunch. So hopefully can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. Cavus, I think, has just now kind of changed what I was going to say, because I thought we had pretty good agreement to send a note to the CWG regarding both A and C, and I was going to look for volunteers to draft such a note. So, Keith, you thought I was going to say your name, but I said Keith's name.
I'd feel rather conflicted, I'm sorry.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay, no. So, Martin, could you take the action to draft a note to the CWG concerning points A and C? But I'm still unclear on the action for B. I was going to ask Keith to take an action on B. So, Keith, how do you feel about?
Yep.
Yes. What is the action?
I think the action on B will probably no. I think it needs to be that there is a question that arises from that needs to be referred back to the CWG for their consideration and their clarification back to us, I think, in terms of their intent around in fact, it's
Sorry, I'm thinking on the fly here. It's more complex than that because it's now in the hands of the CCWG accountability as well. So I am struggling to think of how you could actually put an action around this.
It's fine if we have no action as well. Now we have a giant queue and we're supposed to be going to lunch.
Time will resolve this.
Let me ask a different question. One thing I was wondering about. It seems like we have something to say in the summary document about this, right? If we're going to summarize comments received, we clearly received several comments about this. I'm not sure that it rises to the level of something that we need to speak about elsewhere. So maybe that's where we end up with perhaps what Cavus has suggested, which is a reference to the CCWG or something along these lines, but the place where it lives is the summary of public comments. Are there objections to that idea? That, yes, okay, I was trying. Okay, let's do Cavus, Mary, and then Martin.
No objection to your proposal for B. No actions, but on the cross-reference, that's all. I don't think it is productive to send the CWG. It was extensively discussed, and it was not agreed as such. That is why they wrote a letter to CCWG, and CCWG put it in his document. That's all. I think no actions. I agree with your last proposal.
Thank you. Mary.
Yeah, during the process, thank you, Mary, for the records. During the process, I think there was a survey among the CC TLDs, and there wasn't a consensus on taking this on, that is, delegation and redelegation, PDP. So we decided to remove it and ask the CWG not to touch that area. And if it's been taken to CCWG, I think we should allow it there. I agree with your summary that we put it in our summary that this is the action that we like to. There's no need going back to CWG on this. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Martin.
Thanks, Alyssa. By and large, I agree with your approach, but I'd also note something that Demi has said in the chat and also that Keith said, and that was about NTIA action on appeals. It actually seems to be out of scope of transition because there is no current appeals process. So I think in our comment, we could actually add something like that and note that there is an expectation that the CCNSO, as the relevant policy forum, will proceed to fill in the gap in policy that's associated with this. So, I think it's I'm fine with the way of going. It's just I think it would be worthwhile putting a little bit of explanation as to why we were pushing this one back without actually turning around and we're saying it goes back to the CCWG. Thanks.
Thank you. Keith?
Simply plus one to Martin. What an elegant solution. Thank you.
Great. So, Keith, can we give you the action to draft the summary of the CCTLD-related comments, including B, but I think the others as well? Yeah. Or just B. I mean, we do, I think, need a few sentences about what we did, how we disposed of the other comments as well.
Yeah, I think the problem for me is real
conflict.
You feel
conflicted. Okay. But you can do B. Great. So let's give Keith an action to summarize the comments related to B. And perhaps in the fine tradition that we've established the last day and a half, we can give Wolf Ulrich the action to summarize the rest. Great. Thank you. So let's have lunch, and we will reconvene at 1:40. I mean, you can continue eating until however long you want to eat for, but we're going to have working lunch starting at 1:40. So that's in 22 minutes from now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks. I'd like to be part of the discussion on the next meetings and the calls, which I think is being discussed during lunch. Is it possible with remote participation?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it'll start in 20 minutes.
Right, see you.
Thanks.